let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loved me till the end. People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a one-boy cuddly toy, my up, my down.
Oh, the courtship of Eddie's father.
Love that show.
That was my go-to viewing on WGN television before the remote controls. When I was sick.
Aww.
It would be Partridge Family, I think, and then Courtship of Eddie's Father. And, of course, all, you know, recycled programming on WGN. But my grandfather, as I've mentioned this multiple times, and Roger, you know this, my grandfather worked for WGN.
That's right.
Radio and television.
Mm-hmm.
And so if my grandmother was taking care of me, I was not allowed to watch any other channels.
Of course not.
So,
blasphemy.
Blasphemy. But this song, as soon as I knew we were doing this topic, which is... what we're going to get to in a second. This is the song. I was like, this is the song we have to play.
Yeah.
Can schools ban best friends?
Well, they're trying to.
They're trying to. This is a thing. I want opinions. 312-981-7200. I grew up having a best friend from kindergarten on. I moved into the school district like 2 days before Christmas break during kindergarten. And then like right when we kind of came back, I sort of, me and Barbie Nice, we were inseparable. That was Hannah and Barbara. That was not made fun of at all while we were growing up. Hannah Barbera. We're like, yeah, we know. Best friends to me seem like a vital part of growing up. However, this is a thing that they're actually trying to work on eliminating, or at least modifying, I think would be the goal. The reason they're doing this, and by the way, John Cass, you can hear his podcast with Jeff Carlin on WGN Plus. So go to WGNradio.com and find their podcast. It's excellent. He wrote a column about it in yesterday's paper. If I play by Patty's rules, it's still Friday.
Well,
so.
And when you work the overnight shifts, the days just kind of morph. Yeah, the days just kind of morph together.
Because you and I worked a Nick shift before.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what day it is. So in Friday's paper, and you can pull it up online at chicagotribune.com, they're trying to do this. And this is something that became a little bit more well-known in a European school at Thomas's Battersea, the school attended by some English royals. School officials banned best friends. The idea was to reduce favoritism and promote inclusion within the classroom, and some American had already begun this practice. The phrase best friend is inherently exclusionary, writes a psychologist, Barbara Greenberg. Among children and even teens, best friends shift rapidly. These shifts lead to emotional distress and would be significantly less likely if our kids spoke of close or even good friends rather than best friends. And if kids have best friends, does that also imply that they have worst friends?
There's more to it than that.
I agree. Take that, psychologist Barbara Greenberg.
This actually is the next step, having spent 20 years in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
This is a next step from what was an ongoing and still is an ongoing problem in schools, where there was a lot of hugging of
amongst the children. Okay.
Which was delaying classes, keeping them from getting to classes and stuff, but it started to get carried away, where everyone started going out to hug other ones and other students and this. And administrators didn't appreciate the, what do we call it, the public displays of affection.
Sure.
PDAs, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. It was getting really out of hand in many schools.
I understand, where you can diminish that.
Right, but this is an offshoot of that. This is a continuation of that, where now they're getting into... who's included, who's not included, and who gets the hug, who doesn't get the hug, who feels part of the group and who doesn't feel part of the group. And it's just the way that kids are nowadays. But then again, being the older of the three in the group here, mm-hmm. I think.
Yes.
There was this going on back in the 60s and in the 50s. There were the cool kids. There were the
right.
not so cool kids, you know. There were the and it didn't even go with gangs. It was just who you hung out with and but that's always been the way in schools. So I don't understand why it's this, getting to be a big thing now.
Well, what I'm wondering is one, we're all far more aware of the mental angst that can be caused.
True.
From our relationships with other people. And while it is phenomenal to me that we address mental health more regularly and so that there is far less of a stigma, I think that we are tipped over on one side of the scale of being a little bit too sensitive to things, because the value in having a close confidant and a best friend, like I always knew Barb had my back, you know, this was, and through the years we've drifted apart, but this was something that she was always there. There were years we didn't talk to each other because there was a falling out and a fight and whatever, but the other times where somebody was teasing me because my name was Hannah, mm-hmm. which happened, you know, Barb would be like, oh, forget it, he's stupid, or whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Having someone that you feel is your person.
Right.
In those challenging to navigate areas and times mm-hmm. of your life, I feel is incredibly valuable. What the people who are far smarter than me on the topic are saying, however, is that it is also becoming tremendously painful because kids are incredibly flighty and flaky and throw this around far more than they did. I don't know that I ever told, you know, it wasn't, I didn't walk around saying bestie all the time like everybody mm-hmm, does. Mm-hmm. My daughter has two incredibly close friends, one that she's a little bit closer with, probably because her mom's schedule and mine align more so we can have them.
So she's with her more often.
So we're there together right. more frequently. And that's, but they have a great dynamic and they kind of always have each other's back. You mm-hmm. know, there's the first story I remember of the two of them was in kindergarten and a little boy was teasing Layla, who's my daughter's very close friend, and Preston put herself in between the little boy and her friend and said, you don't talk to her that way. And ooh. And kind of dressed him down for mm-hmm. being mean. And that was the moment we knew the girls were good together because they protected each other. Mm-hmm. So while there's value there, if all of a sudden they have a falling out, now there's going to be increased sadness.
Right.
But that's life.
Yeah, of course. You know, people come in and out of our lives over the decades.
Yes.
It happens all the time. You know, I've reunited Facebook. Oh, my gosh, Facebook. I've reunited with
yes.
people that I went to school with who I didn't have a relationship with in
or
school.
Or had poor relationships with
well,
in school.
Any relationship, poor or good.
Right.
And we have now gone through life and now have shared experiences as older people where we are now connecting. Now, are we BFFs? No.
Right.
But we now have a relationship that in high school we never would have had.
Well, and in high school, in junior high, there's competitiveness. And,
sure.
you know, you both vying
who's in
for
the plays?
Same
who's
girl
on the sports teams?
Exactly.
Who's the smartest? Who's the most creative, and what you just said,
who
has battling
more
for the girls?
Instagram followers, which is
well,
now
nowadays
a thing.
It's social media, sure.
Well,
back then, our social media was private notes passed
through
you
the
know,
locker,
right?
You put them in through you know. The vents in the
no,
locker.
No, this was in class.
Oh, well,
and you
too.
Would hope that
you didn't get
that
caught.
The people in between who were passing the note. Wouldn't like take it and
take
read
it. And read it, yeah.
Right,
yeah. Well, John Cass shares a story which I really love that his wife, who was a teacher, shared about a middle school where the kids started being very clicky, even in the lunchroom. So the principal came up with an idea where he handed out cards with numbers that corresponded to lunch tables, new numbers and new tables every day. And what it forced these kids to do was sit with a different group of people every day. It was constantly rotating and it was completely random. Therefore, they were interacting with different people they would never have interacted with, maybe got to know them a little bit better. There's less to make fun of when you have a personal bond, etc. So there's not going to be the teasing because you have the interaction. You have the inside jokes from that time, you know, so-and-so got a juice box up his nose. That seems like a healthier option than absolutely saying no best friends. And how are they actually, I mean, if you have chemistry with another person, how are they banning this? I get no hugging, no holding hands, no whatever, but is this something where they're just saying you can't say that? Do I have to throw away my daughter's best friend necklaces that she shares with her friends?
No, I think what you described is inclusion, and teachers are asked to do that in a classroom.
Right.
And I think it cannot just be confined to the classroom, because outside the classroom, you have hallways, passing periods, you have lunch, you have playground areas.
Right.
In the younger grades, you have recess. And so I think what that the principal is doing is trying
to promote
it through the entire school, so that in something that takes 9 months, 5 days a week, 7 hours a day or so of a child's life, they're trying to make it eventually become commonplace.
Sure.
So this happens outside of the school. This happens during the summer. This happens in life.
312-981-7200. If you have comments, you can call or text that number. But in the meantime, we are going to take a quick break.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road.
Oh, sing it, Randy Newman. Hannah Stanley tonight filling in for Patty Vasquez. I'll be with you guys for just over half an hour, and then I'll turn over your entertainment to Matt Bubala. We're talking about best friends and the building movement that it's starting. It's getting a lot of press because I think people think it's a little bit bizarre. But Dr. Barbara Greenberg is writing in a piece titled "Should Schools Ban Kids from Having Best Friends?" She believes they should. That we want people to be inclusionary and really not necessarily ban that they have best friends, but she says that she wants them to start using different vernaculars so that they would be close friends.
Yeah, that all makes sense. Friends. I don't know. From my personal experience, like I can see where this is all coming from. I guess from my personal experience, I guess where I'm coming at with it is like, I guess maybe like the different term of best friends, because maybe the other kids, you know, but you know, Roger was mentioning earlier about, you know, kind of like cliques, and you know, I feel like as you're growing up and you get a core group of friends, like my core group of friends that I've been friends with since I started elementary school, first grade or
my
so.
My husband's the same way.
And, you know, I've been friends with them for, you know, a third of my life, 2/3 of my life so far. And it's one of those things, I guess, where socially, I feel like you need to have that core group of friends, because I feel like with everybody's different tastes, and obviously you find common connections, mm-hmm. you know, and like, for example, like video games is a very popular
movies,
that sort of thing.
Genres that you enjoy.
But I feel like as everybody gets older, having that different viewpoints of everything like that kind of strengthens that friendship,
sure,
in a way. And I feel like that's also very important, because even though you're socially, you know, growing up and you share your viewpoints with your friends, it comes to when you go out and you meet other people, you know, it kind of getting that confidence to kind of, you know, you believe in yourself, that self-confidence sort of thing. I guess that's kind of where I'm going.
And
with
but
it.
That's based on who you became.
Yeah.
With the structure of that group. 630, interesting text to 312-981-7200. I grew up in the 60s, went to a smallish Catholic school in the suburbs. Most kids had a best friend, but I never did. Now they've been in my 50s. I still have never had a best friend. Even though I felt left out and terribly lonely at times, I still don't think they should be banned. Kids will find a way around it.
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, there's always a loophole to some rule. You know what I mean?
And
I feel like that texter kind of just hit it. They're going to find a way around
it. They're going to find a way around it. And several other people writing on this topic, because I have read quite a bit about this. Kids who don't have best friends will still be aware of it when they say, like, pick a partner for a project. I always knew who my partner was, right?
Yeah.
You know? So those kids are still going to link up or click up.
Mm-hmm.
It just because they're saying they're their close friend, that's going to turn into closest.
The other thing, too, like with group projects, is that when you kind of have to take on that somebody who isn't a part of your friend group, it almost for the kid, because I've been
You've
in
been
classes.
That kid.
I've been that
yeah.
kid at a few times where sure. you don't know the other people in your group very well and you're trying to help out and everything. But then they kind of just kind of shun you a little
right.
bit.
Right. Well, they have their own language. They
yeah,
have their own dynamic.
Exactly.
I totally get it. And here's the other thing. My school's banning best friends. Would that have made it easier for me? And I will paraphrase the writer in the National Review Online. No, because even though I was a kid, I was not a complete something idiot. We can all tell still easily who were the best friends and that this writer didn't have a best friend because of things called social cues. So yes, it would be ideal and wonderful if we didn't have this dynamic, but it's still something that's beneficial for those who do have it. We're going to have pain in our lives.
Yeah.
We can't make it go away.
Yeah, I know. I know we have some people that want to chat, so maybe we can get to them really quick on the other side.
Yeah, you know
yeah.
what? Let's see if you've got comments on this. Line them up during the news. We're going to turn everybody over to the news with Roger Badish and see, good Lord, what the government's doing. And then we will get back to any texts and calls, 312-981-7200. Hannah Stanley filling in for Patty Vasquez. It's just after 1:30. Here's Roger Badish.
If you ever find yourself stuck in the middle of the sea, I'll sail the world to find you. If you ever find yourself lost in the dark and you can't see.
Is that Bruno Mars?
It is.
Oh, I love him. I didn't know that.
The song's called Count On Me.
He's the best. Hannah Stanley filling in for Patty Vasquez tonight. It has been my pleasure and honor to sit in this chair and get to talk to you guys tonight. I appreciate all of your calls and texts. So we've got several more coming in to 312-981-7200. We're talking, we're continuing to talk about schools, none locally that I know of.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything locally either.
No, but something that's been happening in the United States and then became a little bit more popular, something I was more aware of when it mm-hmm. was in Europe, primarily because it's schools where some of the royals attend, and those mm-hmm. tend to get a little bit more press. Prince George is not allowed to have a best friend. Okay. Wow. I understand why the prince isn't allowed to have a best friend. That'd be a little bit...
Yeah.
A lot of people vying for the prince's bestie status.
Yeah.
Most adorable child on earth, by the way, Prince George. Text coming in, 847. As soon as I read this text, I could sing the song in my head. She says, when I was in Girl Scouts, we would sing a song, and I will sing it. Make new friends, but keep the old. One is silver and the other's gold. That was one
I've
of
I've never
our,
heard that song.
Well, no, you weren't a Girl Scout.
No, but just in general. When...
Yeah, no, that was a Girl Scout song. And so that was, you know, like, be inclusive
mm-hmm.
to new friends. I could never figure out which one was silver and which one was gold, but whatever. she says, let's just smile and no frowning. I understand the dynamic and where the psychologist is coming from. And in a perfect world, that makes tons of sense, but it's not a perfect world. Let's go to Stacy on the phone. You've been waiting. Stacy, thanks so much. Stacy in Rogers Park, you're on WGN. Are you there, Stacy? Oh, no. Where'd she go? Shoot. Sorry, Stacy. We lost you. Please call back if you're still there. Psychologist that we're talking about, Dr. Barbara Greenberg, writing in a piece, should schools ban kids from having best friends? And some school districts and areas are having this, but my son switched schools from second to third grade, and even though we were still in the same district, so we still could see his old friends, it was a real challenge for him to have a different group of people around him. He didn't necessarily have the structure of the kids that he had gone to kindergarten through second grade with, and it was a challenge. Anybody who's moved has dealt with this. So, Alan, you're on WGN.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks so much for asking.
I got reacquainted with my friend a year and a half ago, and we went to grade school. When we moved, I lost connection with her, and then a year and a half ago, I found her father's number, and I called the number in the book, and her father called me. I got the number. We're best of friends.
That's so nice. And after all of these years, how wonderful that you guys were able to reconnect and have that bond again. It really is amazing how wonderful close friends, best friends, can make you feel. They know you like no others, especially those that we have from when we're very, very young and we're doing goofy, silly things. And yes. and having those shared memories really makes a big difference. Navigating, all of the awkward times that we can go through together, man, it helps to have even a small group of close friends to help keep you in check and help you navigate those times.
Exactly.
All right, Alan, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it.
And I like your show.
Oh, thank you, Alan. That's so nice.
You're the best.
Thank you so much. It was so nice to talk with you.
We'll be best of friends also.
I'm in. I'll take that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a good night. Stacy, you're back. Thank you for calling us back.
Oh, it's Stacy from Rogers Park. Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm sorry, I came in from work and I only heard part of your story, but I got to tell you a best friend story.
Good.
For like 40 years.
Okay.
And there's a group of us. I grew up in Niles, Illinois, and, old pals, we got together, we'd hang out, whatever. And then some of us had to go to Niles West and others went to Maine East. I went lucky enough to go to Niles West. All the friends that I called my besties are still my besties after close to 40 years. Our circle grew because what we did was, and it's male and female, mostly female, but some male, we would just bring us into the group. And we all became besties. And not, you know, having the word best friend, I've got 100 of them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they fill different needs.
Every day.
Right.
I'm sorry?
I said they fill different needs.
Yeah. I don't talk to them every day. And I must say, and I caught the tail end of this, you know, the first time I went on Facebook and you put your name out there, all of a sudden, people that you weren't really friends with.
Uh-huh.
Want to be your friend. And you accept it because you're trying to ramp up and, oh my God, this guy, really? He kind of made fun of me in sociology.
Yes.
But you know what? He was, you know, whatever. And, you know, and now he's a totally different person.
That I have seen that happen more times than
right?
I can even count. And what I think we all gain in the wisdom of adulthood is that a lot of times the teasing was maybe in good fun, or maybe because of their own insecurities, or maybe their parents were going through a divorce. There were so many other things behind the reasoning.
You didn't know.
And it all goes away. The hurt might still be there because some people suffer terribly, from that damage. But what you have gained from having that friend circle.
You talk to them on an adult level.
Yes.
They have families. You have families.
Mm-hmm.
And seriously, I've been blessed. I graduated in 1980. I went to Niles West High School in Skokie. You know, it was a kind of a charmed life. There were challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I must tell you, there were challenges. But now, some of these folks that I'm friends with, and we don't see each other. We, you know, on Twitter or Facebook, they're pals now.
Right.
Like you said. But my circle, my ultimate circle, and we grew this from freshman year. I got to tell you, if I called them and I was having a crisis, they would be there.
Right.
And circle grew because of our history, where we grew up from, where, you know, commonalities, you know, whatever. So best friends, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I will call them my besties.
I say this in jest, but I've always thought it was hilarious, that phrase that says friends help you move, best friends help you move bodies. So.
Of course.
That's funny.
You know, that's comedy aplenty. Right?
Yeah, but it's one of those things. Like, you know who's gonna have your back in the dark times.
You know what I call them? I call them my living books. I'm a writer, and I do stand up and whatever. They're my living books. Mm. These are the ones that are staying with me forever. And I gotta tell you, after all these years, I'm 55. Okay. So we're talking 30, 40 years. I have got a plethora of friends. Maybe I don't see them every year.
Doesn't matter.
But if I call, it mm-hmm. doesn't matter.
Yep.
I call them up. It's like, we talked yesterday.
Yeah.
How special is that?
Which is why I'm upset that they're trying to sully
let's
the name of you having a best
let's
friend.
Let's have coffee and start a club.
Done.
I mean, for real. I live in Rogers Park. I worked for Starbucks there for 10 plus years. I'm not anymore. I work at the 7-11-Z.
Okay.
7-Eleven down the street.
Yes.
Why don't you and I sit down and start a club?
We'll start a club.
I'm not even kidding.
I'm not either. All right. It'll be the up at 2 a.m. club.
I'm telling you. And, you know, we'll have a little nosh. We'll keep it. We'll get all those groups.
We got to get Roger in if we're noshing.
Oh, my God. Of course.
Of course. Stacey, thank you for your call. I'm sorry that we lost you earlier, but thank you for calling back. It was.
Thank you so much. And I appreciate your show. I'm sorry I just kind of busted in. I just got home from work.
Oh, no. I appreciate you busting in. Busting in is what WGN is all about.
Yeah. So thank you. Be well, be safe, and I appreciate your show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate my time spent with all of you guys. This has been a wonderful almost 3 hours. We are going to take a quick break, come back and wrap this up, and then talk to Matt Bubala for a few minutes before he jumps on with you guys. Hannah Stanley filling in for Patty Vasquez tonight. More right after this. It is the final countdown. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Patty Vasquez. I've got approximately 9 minutes left, and at some point Matt Bubala is going to walk in here, and we will have conversation with him. We started the show. One of the first topics we talked about was the influenza ban, not ban, the influ- I wish we could ban influenza, but it's not a pandemic, as we learned about in 1918 from our caller. But it is already reached epidemic levels.
Proportions, yes.
Yes. But it does every year. So don't freak out thinking, oh, it's an epidemic. It is. It's bad. Wash your hands. Cover your mouth.
Get a hazmat suit.
Yeah, okay. Maybe.
Or beekeeper suit.
Maybe wear a mask if you think you're sick and stay home.
Yeah.
And then use bleach
bubble
wipes.
Wrap.
Yeah, that's it doesn't really help.
I mean, it's fun to pop with when you're laying in bed.
Oh, that's yeah, that's a stress killer for sure. But that's not the only thing we're dealing with here in the Chicagoland area. Measles.
Yeah, I heard about this too.
Second measles scare in 1 week at O'Hare.
Yeah.
Two times, one airport. No bueno. I don't like the measles.
I'm not flying anytime soon, so no worries on my end, at
Unfortunately,
least.
You're one of the few that aren't flying. There's tens of thousands of people through O'Hare all the time.
Yeah.
Even what's interesting is the one patient that was that they know of that has measles and was potentially shedding virus arrived at the international terminal and then boarded a domestic flight at Terminal 1. Let's just parade him through the entire airport. That's essentially what happened there, from international to Terminal 1. That was this past Sunday that happened. The most recent case was in... Wait, I might have these backwards. One was on January 9th and one was on January 10th. There you go. They're unconnected cases and unrelated individuals, but they both are positive for measles. One case was at the airport, was also at the Concourse Office Plaza in Skokie on January 10th. The patient then went to three healthcare facilities between the evening of January 10th and through the early morning of January 13th.
Yeah.
And so that wasn't just O'Hare. But one was just O'Hare.
But how would you feel like to be sitting next to that person?
You don't know.
On the plane.
You
could be. Well, I heard, I don't remember if it was on the news or if this was on a different thing that or a different report or something like that or an article. But I remember hearing from somebody or reading somewhere that they actually were starting to alert the passengers who were by that individual.
Yes.
And, you know, now I think they're getting actually to the point where they're getting to test it or something like that.
Well, they could develop symptoms as late as February 1st. That's quite an incubation period.
Yeah.
After being exposed as early as potentially January 9th. I don't know exactly how long it would be, but there are people who could have been exposed as late as January 13th. So that's two and a half weeks.
Do you know what they can do to treat it, like, early?
Well, you can
Dr.
get.
Hannah?
I know this has been a lot of medical talk tonight. Here are the symptoms. Symptoms of measles include rash, fever, cough, runny nose, and red, watery eyes. What else does that sound like, Curtis?
The flu.
It sounds like the flu. It sounds like influenza. Most people have been vaccinated against it. It's the MMR vaccine, which is measles, mumps, and rubella. But if you haven't been, and I will tell you, MMR is a hard, it's a hard inoculation. So sometimes kids get one and then they have a reaction and then they don't get it again. If you haven't been vaccinated, try to get the vaccinated because this is a very contagious disease.
Well, and unlike the flu shots, I know at times the flu shot, there are actually doctor's offices that were running out of the shot itself. I'm pretty sure there's tons of measles vaccines that are still being distributed, so you shouldn't really have a problem with
finding it. But you can always call ahead and find out. And you can also call ahead, depending on who your medical provider is. They probably have a record of whether or not you actually are up to date on that vaccine. Two doses of measles vaccines are about 97% effective in preventing measles. Here's what's important with getting vaccinated against, let's say, the measles. It protects you, but it also protects others around you who are too young to get the vaccine or can't receive it for medical reasons. For example, a friend of mine has lupus, so she's already immune suppressed. She, like, her kids would come home with, you know, stuff from school, and she was like, you know, they sent their kid to school sick. Now my kid has it, and now I have it, and I'm, flu is not just flu for me because I already, you know, I have an autoimmune disease, et cetera. So, so please be more sensitive. You know, there could be somebody who's a cancer patient that you're sitting next to. You don't know that they're fighting on multiple fronts. And so this is measles. Measles.
Watch out. It's everywhere. Can't avoid it.
And it's not one thing,
I'm telling
it's
you,
another.
It's, just get the hazmat suit.
I really.
Or the beekeeper suit or the.
When my dad called, this is funny. When my dad called and said, your mom's in the hospital, I'm sorry I didn't tell you yesterday. And I need you to take me because I can't drive myself. That's how sick I am. I was like, okay, I'm on my way. And on my way, I stopped off at the urgent care to grab masks because I knew they had them like sitting out.
Yeah.
But then I walked, I'm walking through the urgent care going, this is so stupid because I'm with all these people who are sick grabbing masks. So I didn't just grab the top mask because that could have been coughed on. I grabbed like three masks and threw
the
top one away. And then I had one for my dad in case he needed it for whatever reason. But as I was walking through the urgent care, there were people, like three or four of them, who had masks on out of, let's say, six people in urgent care. The one is a broken finger. Everybody else has flu. They're all wearing the masks under their noses. No, people.
Oh,
no.
Gosh.
We need to cover mucous membranes. This is how we prevent this.
I think part of the reason, and I've worn a mask before, but it just feels kind of weird because you almost feel like you're suffocating yourself a little bit.
A little bit. And then they do get a little bit swampy.
Yeah.
Suck it up.
I guess.
I mean, really, the times where I've been most sick, I just don't care.
Yeah.
And like, I just feel miserable. Just, I don't care.
Just bring me my chicken noodle soup.
Wrap a blanket
and
around my head.
I'll
I'm
be
just,
right there.
I feel terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, but please, if you have a mask on, cover your nose also. Because that's a lot of the germs are coming from.
I'm going to throw one other thing in.
Please do.
And I've always been a firm believer in this.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we do know that there are canals connecting our throat, mouth, with our nasal passages.
Sure.
We know that's all connected.
Yes.
What's also connected are your ears. And I am a firm believer, which is why I keep my ears covered during the winter, that many of our infections come through our ears.
I have never heard this. Have you? Do you know this, or this is your belief?
This is my very strong belief.
Okay.
Because many times my colds or whatever I get will start as an ear infection.
Oh.
And it travels through. It's all somewhat connected.
The eustachian
Remember you get,
tube, right?
What are the, when you go flying and your ears plug up,
sure.
What do they tell you to do other than chewing gum?
Pop.
Yeah. You kind of gulp.
Yeah.
And so it's
jaw.
All connected. And my firm belief is that there's a lot of crud flying through the air. And when it gets real windy, like it has been the last few days, a lot of that crud come flying through the air from who knows where. And if your ears are not covered, you may have a scarf on, but then you get sick a couple of days later. I think it's because it's flying into your ear canals and that it actually travels down and gets you infected. I'm a firm believer in that. I'm
okay,
not a
Roger
doctor.
Is a firm believer in that. I think it's malarkey, but we will.
No, it's crud. It's not malarkey.
Matt Bubala just walked in, but I know we have to turn this over to news. So he and I will embrace and chat off air, and then
wait
will
a minute. Are you sure it's allowed?
You.
Embracing is allowed. Is
why,
he your BFF?
Why stop now? All right, Roger. It has been a pleasure being with
Always.
You, and a pleasure being with all of you listening. I appreciate all of your kind comments and your interaction tonight, Hannah Stanley. I will close it out, and Patty will be back with you guys on Monday. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.